Hello, welcome to the Butch to Nuts podcast. It's a movie review podcast.
You betcha.
I'm Ben Charlesworth.
And I'm Scott Charlesworth.
Yeehaw. Shit. Wow, that was beautiful.
That was aircon, man.
That was aircon. Hang on, we watched aircon today.
We did.
Oh, hang on, otherwise, I'm trying to catch this Vulpix.
Oh, fuck, he's playing Pokemon.
See, the problem here is that...
You're addicted to Pokemon Go again, mate. Oh, I can't believe it. Like, I respect it. I respect the grind. Because you are on a mission, but it's just taking over your life, and you're not the same person that you used to be. You're like a junkie.
Well, the problem is that Vulpixes are really hard to catch, because they keep popping out. Oh, now I've got enough candy to evolve, so it's all good.
That might as well just evolve it on the podcast.
Nah,
come on, do it. Give it a go.
I won't.
Or are you going to save it until you get a very good Vulpix?
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
And then you can evolve it into a Ninetales.
I wasted so much shit on that Vulpix, bro. On all these Vulpixes.
Disgusting.
Oh, well.
You're filthy. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's not going to evolve that good. I'll just...
Speaking of filthy, though, we are in a very hot room again.
Thank you.
Recording in the afternoon. It is coming into summer. We thought it was going to be a really rainy day, but as the weatherman usually says, the wrong things for the weather.
Yeah, they say some things and then it never comes true. They say, yo,
it's going to be rainy and then it's sunny. It's clear skies.
The movie we watched today was Con Air, but before we get into that, Scott.
Yes.
Just like finding yourself in a strange situation and then people coming out of their cells, I walked in on someone doing a poo the other day, in a way.
Really?
I walk into the bathroom and I hear someone's phone playing, so I instantly think of something else. And as I walk open the door, I hear this person fumble and just drop their phone and quickly pull up their pants, flush the toilet, pick up their phone and walk out. And it was some guy that I knew as well. I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
You caught him out.
Yeah,
caught him out.
I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, yeah, you caught me at a bad time.
Oh, maybe he was jerking the gherkin.
Maybe he was jerking the gherkin.
That's,
I was like,
so good.
Oh, bro.
So you just opened the bathroom door for perspective. I thought you meant his cubicle door.
No. Yeah, see, I was trying to tie it in with Con Air in a way.
Yeah, and you're kind of losing your mind over heat stroke.
That is true.
Yeah.
Or that JonTron video, heat syncope. I've got heat syncope. And
we gotta love JonTron. He's a classic. He's an absolute classic.
You've got his hair probably.
I probably do.
Yeah, you probably do. No one will ever know because you've never revealed your face.
face review at like episode 50, which was last episode.
True. Maybe face reveal at 1,000
episodes
listeners per
episode.
Yep. 1,000 episodes, you'll reveal your face.
I'll reveal my face.
I can't wait to finally know what you look like.
It's going to be so sexy, and I'm really excited for you to know the face of your brother.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
I just said to the guy, what are you doing pooing here?
Yeah.
No, as if you poo at this bathroom. And I said, there's a way better bathroom down here.
You're giving him advice of which bathroom to shit in as well.
I said, I'll show you one day.
You're a true friend.
So next week, I'll probably see him. And I'm going to take him to this bathroom where he should either poo or jerk the gherk.
Bro, you're just embarrassing him.
Yeah, he was.
But you're giving him good sound advice, and I hope he listens to you.
True. Beautiful boy.
Well, we're going to talk about Aircon, which is actually called Con Air, starring the one and only legend.
John Cusack.
That's right, but also in the lead, starring
John Malkovich.
You know what? I knew you were going to say that, and if you switch it up again, I'm going to reach over there.
All right.
And I'm going to be cross with you.
All right.
Starring Steve Buscemi. Thank you. I'm glad that we're on the same page. So we're going to get a bit of a synopsis here. Cameron Poe. Well, it just says Cameron here, but Cameron Poe, played by Nicolas Cage.
Oh, true. Is he in this?
Yeah, he is in this, okay. Funnily enough. Is a wrongly convicted prisoner who is going to be released when his plane is hijacked by other criminals. Ooh. While they seize control of the plane, he attempts to wrest control and return home. I don't think he was wrongly accused. I think he was accused of manslaughter. Yo, get dunked on.
Yeah, now I am scared.
You are? He really did kill that person from that bar.
He did. He
even though it was self-defense of his wife, which is very admirable, and the justice system is a bit cracked sometimes, but yes, he did still kill someone. And yeah, someone with those skills, you have to be able to restrain yourself to a point, but sometimes you just have to get out of the situation. So there's two sides to the coin.
I mean, you've been in that situation before, haven't
you?
Yeah,
when I was attacked by someone in a mascot costume.
Okay.
And they took me to a shop with other mascot costumes and tried to get me to buy them. And I was like, no. And I punched them in the face.
And they died.
It's okay. I've actually never been in a fight in my life.
No, you used to do taekwondo.
Used to. Back in the old days. Back in the glory days.
My biggest problem probably with this movie, if we're going to go straight into the
negatives, we need to, because I'm excited.
I thought that there was a dash in between the con and the air this whole time. And then I looked at the Letterboxd reviews and realized that it's just con air, two separate words.
Two separate words, yes.
I thought it was con dash air. So I had a whole planned joke that it was going to say con dash air the whole time.
Wow, that's hilarious.
But now I can't.
You can say it for when we do Spider-Man, though. Spider-Man.
That is true. I'll save that one.
Yeah. Well, that would be incorrect grammar if that did have a dash in it. So I'm glad that you realised that. And I'm very proud of your opening of your mistake. You know, it's very... the word admirable again.
Yeah.
It's very admirable of you to admit that on the podcast and come clean with your issues.
Speaking about that beginning fight, though, who did he... Did he kill the guy who was sort of catcalling his wife from the start, or whatever, being a dick to his wife from the start? Or it just one of his mates?
It was him. It was the dude.
It was the dude. I thought so.
He did the old palm to the nose and shoved the bone up into the dude's brain.
True.
That was crazy. I'm like, Nicolas Cage, he's unstoppable. Straight out of the military, here to see his wife, bam, in prison like a badass.
Speaking to her belly. Yeah, that was beautiful.
It was beautiful. I think that was one of the most wholesome moments of the movie, and I'm specifically talking about the fight scene.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before we really get balls deep into
so deep.
I want to ask you one main question.
Hit me, brother.
Was the cheesiness distracting or welcome?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Absolutely welcome. It really is. It really depends who is starring in the movie for these sort of things. Because there are movies where the cheesiness is a break, but this was a make. Mm. You know, combined with the lines that were given to Nicolas Cage and Nicolas Cage's acting, that special combination just created gold. It was so funny.
I really enjoyed hilarious. This movie. This is great. Just such a great time.
Honestly, I think going forward, I haven't seen heaps of Nicolas Cage movies, but going forward, this is definitely going to be one up there of my favorites of his.
Well, they
regardless of the score that I give for this one of quality, but you can't deny that this is a very entertaining movie. It keeps you going for the whole run.
Yes. They say this, Face Off, and The Rock are Nicolas Cage's holy trinity.
Right.
So
The Rock was a Michael Bay film.
Sean Connery's in that as well.
Pretty sure. And that was made in 1993-ish or something.
Bump those numbers up. You're nearly there. Warmer.
Warmer. Is it 95?
Close. You're right there. You're right there.
Don't tell me it's 96.
He's on it. He's on it.
Yes. Yes.
I was going to give you one final chance.
And this movie came out the year after in 1997.
And so did Face Off as well.
Wow.
So yeah, all in that beautiful period.
It was the cage time.
Oh man, people getting caged up.
Cage rage.
Caged up the cage rage. Yeah. Right up the wazoo. Would have been better if I pulled that off.
No, it's okay. We'll leave it there. That's very good.
Yeah, I'm like John Malkovich. I didn't pull it off.
You are a bit of a Malkovich.
Was it a Malkovich?
John Malkovich.
Some people say Malkovich. Malkovich. But they're dumb. I say Malkovich.
He's got a beautiful accent. I love his accent so much. It's so satisfying to listen to.
I love his facial hair.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's actually very classy, isn't
it? He is. He's a very classy man.
He was a dapper con.
He was a dapper con.
Yeah, he really was.
Who was the most dappest of the cons?
Dapperest? Ooh. I mean, I kind of want to say Danny Trejo, Johnny 23.
Even though he was
a total scumbag.
Nearly was Johnny 24.
He was nearly Johnny 24, yes. But I have to give it to Nicolas Cage. He had the fit.
He was so dap.
He had the white nav on, or like the tank top for other people. And then the classic 90s blue jeans. Actually, they were a little bit more early 90s than mid 90s, weren't they?
I'd wear that to Halloween. He's fit. Wear his fit. But you, fit I reckon you have wig. To have the bullet shot in the arm as well.
Yeah, and the belt that's kind of like half like brought out too.
I love that scene where the guy right at the end pulls out a gun to Nicolas Cage as they're in the plane,
yeah,
as it's about to crash. Just walks up, just gets shot in the arm, doesn't even bother him.
He just he's like a truck. He's
about to crash into Vegas. Man doesn't care.
He dude is a bulldozer.
Towards the gun. That was incredible.
Okay, so we all know the realism of an actual we got some background bird noise in there.
Mm.
We all know the realism of an actual explosion. We do got a lot of birds.
It's just going to sound like a nature documentary.
Yeah, just
going to be recording this in the Daintree.
Why don't we bring that curtain down?
Oh, all right, Phil.
Wait, hang on. What we were talking about, we got to remember.
Explosions. All right, tell the listeners about your day whilst I take the curtain down. Well, don't cut this.
Okay, I'm not going to cut this. My day was all right, I guess. We watched Con Air, also known as Air Con, also known as Con Air, starring Steve Buscemi.
I'm back.
Oh, you should have heard what I just said.
What
it
did
was
I miss?
Off chops.
I missed it.
Off the chops.
I missed it. All right, explosions.
Realism in explosions. Obviously, that has been a thing that's been played with a lot in action movies.
I've heard of it.
And especially in 90s movies, coming into the 2000s, walking away from the explosion is a very big cliche.
Oh, brilliant.
It was definitely started in these sort of movies, and Nicolas Cage is the ultimate walker away from explosions. So good.
He is a good walker from an explosion.
He's just a good walker in general.
However, in the aeroplane graveyard...
The Boneyard.
Well, the Boneyard.
If we're going to get...
Oh,
like,
true. It's the
Boneyard.
Yeah, yeah.
Call of Jody. Call of Jody.
Call of Duty. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Airplane Graveyard.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
get the old... what's his name? Comes out the old plane. He's like...
Oh, Jetfire.
Yeah, and he goes... Optimus Prime. Do the morning to you, really. Do the morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jetfire. I'm an Irish streamer.
That was totally Jetfire.
Yeah. And his name's actually Sean, not Jacksepticeye.
Wow.
fuck, I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah, John Malkovich was walking away from the explosion with all the prisoners when the Mexican guy betrayed him.
That was sick.
Everyone else is turning around going, fucking explosion. And then John Malkovich just, oh,
yeah, look at me.
Goddamn fire. Oh, yeah. Didn't even bother that. Bald head beauty.
Oh, he was unstoppable in that moment and still is unstoppable to this day.
True.
Yeah.
He died by no hand of man.
That's right.
Died by machine. How we all shall perish, they say.
That was very profound.
Give me a point.
Well, I have to say...
Say it, bro. You're on an audio medium where you can speak.
I can, and I have the freedom. Going on the Bay train, we're talking about Michael Bay. So, obviously, this movie took a lot of inspiration from, I would say, Bad Boys, because that came out a couple of years before this.
95?
Five?
Probably.
I think you're right.
Let's...
Anyway, so, I thought from the start, is this a Michael Bay movie? It's got the wide, the long, sweeping, wide-angle shots of the plane.
Yeah.
In the sky. Classic Michael Bay thing to do. Lots of vehicle shots, massive explosions, the oily close-ups of people, like getting into their faces and stuff like
so
that.
So much oil.
So much oil.
So much sweat.
So basically what I'm saying is that it really does live up to the Bay style, which it tricked me at the start. I thought it was great.
The director was Simon West. I'll go through a bit of his juice. Some of his notable stuff: Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, the original. Expendables 2, probably the best, they'd say.
Damn.
The Mechanic with Jason Statham.
Oh, I loved it when he fixed that car in that movie.
That is true. Wild Card, also with Jason.
Statham.
He's done some weird... Oh, he's done another Nicolas Cage movie called Stolen. And just the title thing says, "Never steal from the world's greatest thief." That's got terrible reviews. And then he's done a few Chinese films by the looks of it, which is interesting.
That's good. He's tapping into the international market there.
I know.
Very good.
Yep, Chinese.
Cool.
I'm awesome. Not just assuming, I'm being correct.
Yeah.
Called Skyfire. We'll check that out one day, I'm sure. Or we'll forget about it, like most things.
Yeah, well, we always do.
Yeah, I forgot what movie we watched last week for the podcast.
I forgot what movie we're reviewing right now.
Hang on. Aircon. Oh, Air-Con.
Air Daddy.
Someone says daddy in this movie, I'm pretty sure. Oh, yeah, at the start, when we were in the bar, the Nicolas Cage's wife calls him daddy.
Really?
Yeah.
And Nicolas Cage comes in, says, "Who's a daddy?"
Yeah.
"Who's a daddy?" "It's you, Cage."
Oh, fuck.
Damn, fuck.
Stroke my long hair. Oh, he didn't have long hair.
Nah,
at that
he was
point.
A short boy then.
Stroke my short hair.
He was like a Ghost Rider.
We'll have long hair in a minute. Yeah. You wait, baby.
You can run your fingers through it. Through God my damn. Tasty locks.
What'd you think of his southern accent?
Oh, it was horrible. It was so bad. It was just... It was clearly like he'd watched one Western movie and gone, "Yeah, fuck, I can do this." But not in that accent.
I have trivia, but I will save it to debunk your point you just said then.
Really? So he studied a lot.
No,
he did.
No.
I know he did.
No, not Nicolas Cage. You'd never do something like that.
Of course he would.
No. Look, no. You've got him all.
We've got to give him credit where it's due. He's had some banging movies, but...
Oh. Never mind. We thought someone was at the door.
Was that a knock or was that just the door turning?
I don't know. But it kind of made me
turn.
Cage in the prison at the start as well.
Yeah.
The whole prison was just destroyed at one point.
Yeah, which is like, what the hell? I mean, you know, you're in prison. That's how it be. That's
and then he just like, he's just that starts time... inexplicably crying to his homie.
Yep.
was it Bubba?
Bubba. Wait, okay, now let's figure out his actual name. So, Mikelty Williamson. So Mike, he played Mikey's friend, Odell.
Bubba. Yeah, he is Bubba.
He is Bubba. I knew it. I absolutely knew.
Nah, you're racist.
No. I was like, man, I've seen this boy before.
And then when
he was lying on the floor, I'm like,
keep digging.
That's Bubba.
Keep digging.
I've seen this guy die before, but he didn't die in this one. Wow. Spoiler alert. Yeah,
spoilers for FG.
Forrest Gump
for those who aren't aware.
Yeah. So, wow. So, Mikelty played a guy called Mike. So that's pretty cool. He basically played himself.
Yeah, he basically played himself.
Except he's not actually a con.
Really, we're the ones who got played, probably.
This is right. This is correct.
I liked the funny glasses for no reason. That was Mission Impossible guy had.
Yep.
What's his name?
Oh, yes, he was in Mission Impossible. Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames, yeah.
He's Ving a Rhames. Legend. Yeah. And he was fucking buff too, wasn't he?
He was. He was real buffed out.
Actually, all right, so going back to oily bodies.
Okay.
Oily
you
muscle.
Love going back to oily bodies.
This movie was just filled with oily, muscly bods. Everyone was just fucking jacked. I mean, I guess you have to be in prison.
Dave Chappelle was like oiled up. They oiled up Dave Chappelle.
Pinball. Yeah, that was his name, wasn't it?
I cannot believe Dave Chappelle was in Con-Air.
Yeah. that was a very welcome surprise.
Did not know that.
Unfortunately, we didn't get enough of him and he got caught in the landing gear of a plane.
Yeah.
All because he was hitting on that chick in the hangar.
Totally relatable, probably.
Oh, man. that happens to all the homies.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate when that happens. I hate when I just hit on a woman and then I get stuck in some landing gear, get thrown out of a plane.
You know what, though? Dave Chappelle, he had some guts. Why? Vomiting out that gasoline out of his guts. Or was it propane? Who knows what it was?
How did he light the match?
He made a match with his comedy.
No, but like...
with his quick jokes.
Number one, I didn't see him vomit out the match, but I'm guessing he did, obviously.
It was just the tube of flammable liquid. Yeah.
But how did he vomit out...
We're talking about the breakout scene, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Obviously. I'm just there. For the listeners, you know.
I think the listeners know.
I think they do too.
No. How did he light that match?
He just found it and used his nail. I don't know. True. I don't know. He would have just smuggled it under his tongue or something.
Because I've done that thing where I've tried to light a match on a brick many times. And it's
it
never
doesn't
worked.
Work. No. You need just the right material. Yeah.
I wonder if it works on like the pavers or something.
I know you can do it with your nail though.
Can you actually?
I don't know. I've seen it done before.
Maybe you watched a YouTube tutorial, went onto WikiHow.
And just like, how do I light match with nail?
Yeah. And then WikiHow gave him all these dumb steps, like swallow propane and
bro,
stuff.
What are you talking about? WikiHow never lies.
True. It is the best source ever.
It's actually biblical.
What did you think of the breakout scene?
I thought it was pretty crafty, but... no, yeah, I thought it was all right. But kind of cliche at the same time, because everyone does the pin and the lock.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
I like that they shoved it under their skin.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Quite
hot.
Hot, yeah. But also, you got to get that right angle, and you got to have some thick skin to be able to do that. You got to have some layers.
Yeah, that is true.
Like an ogre.
They were in the dermis layer, I'd say.
The dermis layer.
They cut straight through the dermis and into the epidermis or something.
You're a bit of a science guy, aren't you?
I'm just anything about skin, I know. So name one thing about skin, I'll tell you.
So you're a dermatologist, Ben. Okay. I need a consultant right now.
Look at that spot on your neck.
Do you
benign.
Want to fix it?
No, it's benign. It's fine. We could cut that out if you want, but it's benign. It's not cancerous.
Well, just cut it out anyways, because you've found it.
No. Okay. Do you want me to cut it out?
Right now.
It's 5 minutes of work. Not even. Like 2.5 minutes.
Just reach across and just pull it off. All right.
Because it's benign. Like, it's not going to actually do anything.
Okay.
It's not cancerous. It's just benign.
Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate your medical expertise.
It's just benign. It is benign.
Okay. I want to talk about...
do it.
Who had the best name? Who had the best name of all these characters?
Yeah, there were so many.
All right, I've got a list. Can I read them out, please?
Yeah, please.
So, obviously, we have Nicolas Cage as Cameron Poe, mm-hmm. which in itself is an interesting last name. But, you know, everyone just called him Poe. I like that nickname. Mm-hmm. Then we had Buscemi, who was Garland Green, which is like a classic kind of comic book sort of style
name.
But it's not as exciting as the other ones. And I would say, obviously, Johnny 23, we know why he's got that one and it's very dark.
Yeah.
We have Pinball for Dave Chappelle because he's the chatterbox and he's bouncing off the walls all the time.
Someone said he looked like a penis head. What'd they say? Oh, penis head.
Penis head.
That guard at the start.
Oh, poor Dave.
Oh, penis head. Damn. Whereas it's just a penis head.
That's why he's called Pinball then, I guess.
If my penis looked like Dave Chappelle, I'd be over the moon.
Dude, I would be wrapped.
Mine just looks like... mine looks like the plane at the end of the movie.
Just decimated.
Yeah.
Your penis is a wreck.
It is a wreck. It's struggling. It's just... It's like the fire as well, because it burns when I piss and shit.
You should probably see a doctor.
No, it's benign. It's fine.
It's benign.
Yeah,
it's benign.
It's benign.
Then we also had Diamond Dog, which was a very... by Ving Rhames, obviously.
Yeah.
Which was obviously a David Bowie reference, which I loved. Then we had Swamp Thing, which is a DC reference, which was cool, by the hippie pilot. I liked his character a lot, actually.
Swamp Thing and Man Thing. Man Thing's...
both copycats.
Man Thing's Marvel, right? And Swamp Thing's DC.
I'm pretty sure, if my facts are right, that Marvel copied DC with that.
But who's who? Swamp Thing's definitely DC.
That's definitely... let me Google it right now.
Because I know it's in the new Werewolf by Night special Marvel presentation.
That Man Thing is there.
Yeah, Man Thing or Swamp Thing. There's too many things.
Well, Swamp Thing sounds cooler. And also a UK band created a... called The Chameleons created a song called Swamp
Thing. Stop reading Google, bitch, and give me my facts.
Fuck. Yeah, it is. It is DC.
There's a guy called Gator.
Gator?
Wait. Sims, Ajax.
Oh, and then we have Cyrus the Virus.
Yeah.
John Malkovich, I think, personally, had the best nickname out of all of them.
What about Sally Can't Dance?
Sally Can't Dance. True. I forgot about them, actually. Yeah.
Or Man in Car.
Man in Carl. You're just reading characters.
Man in Carl is my favorite because he got Dave Chappelle smashed on his car. Or Woman in Car, Man in Car's wife.
Yeah, actually, Woman in Car, she was pretty cool.
Tech Guy, played by Joey Mishishima.
okay. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
I really liked... What about Guard Ryan?
Guard Ryan.
Played by John Robotham. That's his real name. My favorite actor, John Robotham. Ah, yes.
I'm going to name... Wait, can you imagine if that's your family line? Robotham. Or is it Robotham? Robotham.
Robotham.
I reckon it's Robotham. Well, that makes a lot more sense because, you know, robots weren't created until...
1994. So, that's true. Yeah, this was one of the movies of all time.
It definitely was. Do you have any hot... Let's go... Hot shot time.
What's this mean?
Hot shots. Any hot shots that you liked?
Oh, that's right. That's a segment we created once.
But it was like a weird segment that comes and goes.
True. Yes, two very hot shots. We go one for one. Is that how we did it last time?
Let's do it, yeah.
That's right. We did this last in episode 23.
But I'm going to switch it up a little bit on you. Okay. It was episode 23, I think.
When we did totally. Don't Worry Darling, of course. go. Point at me and yell.
What was your favorite action shot of the movie?
Oh.
Go.
I'll
put you on the spot here.
Not really. When
he's all over it.
All the cops were coming through the boneyard.
Ooh, and yes.
Shit was just exploding everywhere.
And they pinned them
and
down.
And they'll just shoot. Yeah, they grabbed those dirty cops by the thighs and pinned them down. Exploded all around them and just shot them up.
Ooh, damn. Yeah. Oh.
John Malkovich just pierced his bullets into their skin.
Pierced.
Fuck. I love his facial there. Malkovich! Johnny boy! yeah, that was definitely my favorite action shot.
Yes.
Just the chaos that was happening.
Mm, there was a lot of chaos.
I liked the vectors that the eyes, the shot was projecting.
Oh, you're getting very technical there, aren't you?
I was directed into the middle, whilst the side had all the crumbled planes.
Yes.
And all the homies just shooting.
Yep.
All the police homies as they were getting shot, and then their cars were getting exploded from the grenade launchers.
Yeah.
And just explosions anyway, and John Cusack was coming in, just pummeling through. Get behind the truck.
I don't know how he didn't get shot, because that was a big window in that truck. Because
he was like,
he's John Cusack, obviously.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He works at a record store. He's John Cusack.
Yeah.
That's a reference to...
That 70s show.
That 90s movie.
Oh, Con Air.
Con Air, yeah.
Yeah, 1997.
Where he's in a record store with Jack Black.
Oh, yeah. Con Air.
Yeah, Con Air.
That's a good one. We watched Con Dash Air today.
Yes, we did.
Air Dash Con. Air Dash Con. What was your favorite action scene? Action shot, I guess.
Action shot.
Here on Hot Shots.
Hot Shots. I would have to say... Oh, does this count as an action shot?
Probably.
Of Dave Chappelle being thrown out of the plane and ragdolling through the sky.
That was a lot of action. I'd count that as an action shot.
I think the best part of that shot, though, was when he hits the car.
That car got decimated.
It's so fucking boom! As it, like, that's very realistic, though, because an average human body, adult, is like, you know, 80 to 100 kilos.
How many feet they were up, like, dude,
that momentum comes down, claps the car.
I think it smacked two cars, did it? Oh, no, it smacked that one car and then, the car crashed into it.
There was T-boning everywhere. Man, T-boning, there was Chappelle
T-boning.
Juices everywhere. Dude was not telling jokes after that. He did not go to the comedy store.
No, Sticks and Stones. Dude, it's one of his comedy specials. I'm sure you could make a joke out of that if we were more clever.
If we were more educated.
That's why you don't drop out in Year 10.
And you don't drop out of planes.
Oh, true, yeah.
Damn.
That was clever. That was good.
I might as well just quit the podcast now.
I think 5-star review for that.
Yeah, it's good.
The destruction in this movie was just awesome. I just loved how breakable everything was, the explosions and shit.
Actually, you know what? Speaking of the destruction, I thought it was going to end after the plane crashed into the casino. Then they just jump into a fucking fire truck and gun it down the road.
I thought it was going to end at the graveyard.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I thought
this was the final scene.
And they end up flying away. And then the Vegas
just crashes through. That was awesome, that scene, because it just kept going. Going down the main strip and you see the Hard Rock Cafe guitar gets smashed and all the neon signs getting destroyed.
Yeah.
Cars getting pummeled away.
It was just crazy.
Like, people, just so many people die.
That's what one of them said. Oh, man, there's going to be some casualties if they land down there. Okay, cool.
They did.
And then at the end, the DEA agent was like, well, that didn't really work out that well, didn't it? And John Cusack's like, yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, sorry about the car.
I didn't like the car anyways.
I was bored of it anyway.
Well, I did yourself a favor then, I guess.
I loved...
John Cusack was great.
My favorite part of that whole sequence where the plane's coming down...
Yeah.
As we get to the casino, like a shot of the casino, and someone goes, oh, move the white Corvette. No, it's in the way.
Yeah.
And the valet's in their little box. And then the next thing you know, the plane just comes and destroys the box. And you don't see that man jump out. You just see him just jump get to the squashed.
Side. Yeah.
And that whole box just gets pushed under the plane. My favorite part is knowing that he will never have another Christmas. No.
That was so off the cuff.
No.
Oh, yeah, that was so off the cuff. I'm actually proud of that. Well done. Thank you.
Clever. I'm not educated.
Let me see what other points I have. Holy
that shit. Valet boy, you're a beautiful man.
He was a beautiful man.
Can we keep going hot shots?
We'll go our... Oh, what was the weird...
I still have two more shots that I want to talk about.
You got two more shots? Man... By all means, lay it on me.
I like the perspective from Steve Buscemi when he's in that dried-out pool with the little girl. And it's like him looking at her.
Yeah. I'll be honest. The whole Steve Buscemi arc was pretty wasted for me.
What was the point of that?
I think his character was almost too similar to John Malkovich's in the way of the crazy person, weirdo, skinny guy.
Yeah.
Like, that slot was already taken. And then you introduced him halfway through the movie.
And he did nothing.
I'm thinking...
Just sung a girl. Oh, sung a song with a girl. Not sung a girl with a song.
He had this whole redemption arc of not being a killer anymore.
I don't know.
He did. That's the whole point of his character. He had the new life at the end, and then Sweet Home Alabama played, and he was in the casino.
But he's just gonna get caught.
He is.
You're telling me that a guy who's killed 137 people or whatever it was is not going to get caught by the FBI. It's stupid. It does not make any sense at all. Oh, no.
He won't get caught.
He will never get caught.
If he's listening to this, he won't get caught.
True. His point about the irony will not make him get caught. That's like all his good karma now. Hey, isn't it ironic that got killed in a plane, the band that made this, and we're in a plane.
That's right, they made that joke in the movie.
That joke, and it was probably the best joke ever.
It was
probably one of the jokes of all time.
It was one of the jokes of all time.
True. Hit me with another point.
Damn. Oh, I felt sorry for the dude that had diabetes. I felt sorry for Bubba.
Give me my insulin!
He was like just fucking freaking out on the chair the whole time. Like, dude, he said, okay, there's a real problem in this movie about time. There is no concept of time. He said he would die in 2 hours, right? That length of plane ride.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
The whole fight, everything is way over 2 hours. This guy should be fucking dead. And also, when...
Oh, no.
Is that a mower?
Oh, no.
Fuck.
Is it coming from our place?
Let me go investigate.
Pause.
Hang on. We'll come back to it. Remind me. Ving James. I'm going to talk about Ving James next.
Ving James.
Ving Rames. Ving Rames. Not Ving James. I'm going to talk about Ving Rames.
Okay.
Next.
Right after this ad. And we're back. Thank you to Domino's for sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah.
Get your new cheeseburger pizza today. Where were we?
We were talking about Vince Rames, and I was talking about the problems of Ving. Time in this movie.
Ving. Not Vince.
Vince. God damn it, I've called him Ving James and Vince Rames.
Vince James, favourite. My favourite alter ego. That's actually who you are at night time, isn't it?
I'm Rick James, bitch.
You're like a Phoenix Jones, that your name is Vince James.
Vince James.
You go out in the streets.
I dress up in a costume.
Streets of Sydney, and you take out those violent crimes. That's right.
I put a singlet on, and I get really buff, and I wear a bandana, and yep, I'm Vince James.
Damn. I'm just regular old Ben Charlesworth.
You really are.
Yeah.
But remember how he said at that point in the boneyard part in the movie where he goes, John Malkovich says, how much time we got? 10 minutes, maybe 12 tops. Dude, that was like a whole hour that passed with them driving down the road, setting up, pulling the whole fucking plane out of the ground. God knows how they did that.
Bare hands.
Easy. You know,
one guy was whipping.
Yeah, no, it was...
It was Vince James.
Ving Rames was whipping people. He was the most built there. He could have pulled the whole plane out himself.
Instead, he was whipping them.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's just, yeah, there is a really bad time problem in this movie, but it is fucking hilarious. It's just, you don't even care at this point. You're just going, I'm having the time of my life watching aircon.
I think it's time for some notable quotes as well.
Please.
Good part is when John Cusack says to, they find John Malkovich's prison, and they have like the weird cinder block that starts peeling away. And as he walks out, he says, don't touch anything. And the guard immediately opens up a thing that says, do not open.
And he blows himself up. And two other guards, for that matter.
Magnificent work from him.
The other guards told him not to touch it. He's like, yeah, fuck him. And he just opens it up and blows the entire room apart.
Also with Vince James, when he talks to
Vince James.
Nicolas Cage in the plane, and he like says he's like a hillbilly or something.
Yeah.
And he walks away. And then Nicolas Cage goes, what was I thinking about? Oh yeah, yeehaw, that's right.
Alright, we gotta go Cage quotes.
Alright, what's your favorite Cage quotes?
Put the bunny back in the box.
I told you to put
the bunny back in the box. What the fuck?
Should have put the bunny back in the box. You should have put the bunny back in the box.
Sorry, boss, but there's only two men I trust. One of them's me, the other's not you.
See, he's lying. He's lying.
He's like, he only trusts one person,
and it's himself.
Nicolas Cage doesn't need maths.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe he's talking about his father.
And then at the end he goes, now I trust three people, and one of them's you. So he trusts himself, Johnny Boy. Who's the third?
Definitely his father, I would say. It's got to be his father. That's the only other male significance that I can think of. Unless it's another side to him. It's his alter ego that he trusts.
Yeah, true. It's Caged Nick.
Caged Nick.
That's Vince James, his alter ego. God damn it. Add it again.
Oh, wait. What about this other one that was really random? I forgot what scene it was from, but it was, on any other day, that might seem strange.
Oh, that was when the car was getting pulled behind the plane.
Yeah, yeah. What the hell? That was shocking CGI, but it was so funny. Oh my god.
That was I forgot the Bond movie. The last Pierce Brosnan movie.
Oh,
he's on the hang glider surfing.
Yep.
And then there's like a white white guy is an Asian guy. Oh, it's a Korean guy.
Yeah.
Puts his body into a white guy and has electrocuting powers.
What the fuck?
Which one is that one? All right. Keep talking. Phil for me.
Phil Dunphy. You know what? If they ever make a Phil Dunphy movie spin-off, I'm all down for that. I'm down for that.
Yeah?
Can you imagine that, doing that? A Phil Dunphy spin-off?
I don't know if I'd want to see that, honestly. I'd be too scared.
Yeah? Well, they already did, actually, when they included him in The Incredible Hulk.
True.
Yeah.
Safe. That was his...
Did you just fart?
I did.
Fuck you.
Die Another Day. Sorry. It took me too long. That was 5 years after with the whole...
Wow.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Shall we get on to some Letterboxd reviews?
No, we usually do trivia first.
No, we do. We bloody do. I was just testing you.
Just testing me. Shall we? We shall.
We shall.
John Cusack considers Con Air a bad movie and hated the time he spent working on it so much that he barely remembers it. Cusack only did it, one, because of the money, and two, to leverage, to use it as leverage in order to make his own indie passion projects.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I respect the fuck out of that.
No, John, you're stupid. It's the best movie ever.
Stupid, John. And you're blind. Man, I totally understand where he's coming from, because all in all, we can look at it like it is just a throwaway, fun cash grab of an action movie.
You disgust me with your words right now.
No. It's entertainment at its highest, but quality, not so much.
Quality at its highest, entertainment at its highest. No, high score from me coming up.
Yeah, no, he was too busy trying to make High Fidelity. Or no, High Fidelity had already come out by that point, I think.
Probably.
Yeah, that's the movie I was talking about with him and Jack Black in a record shop.
Yeah.
With that joke that I was subtly making.
Probably. Dave Chappelle improvised many of his lines.
Not surprising.
Good to know.
He is the GOAT.
John Malkovich was also unhappy during production because the script was being rewritten virtually every day.
Yeah.
And he had no idea how his character was going to turn out. His death was wild as well.
It was. It was really...
All right, let's recap what happened. He got handcuffed. Am I correct?
Handcuffed.
To a fire truck.
Yeah, brought up on the ladder.
Yep.
And then thrown through a window. Two windows, to be exact.
Yep.
Through a corridor.
Yeah.
Lands on electrical wires.
Gets electrocuted. Falls on a
conveyor. Smashes through boxes. Somehow ends up on the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And gets his head crushed.
Yeah.
So, not to mention, he also gets his legs stabbed with a piece of a harpoon.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was very nice. That was through his ankle, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was through his ankle.
That was
You're
a
correct.
Difficult spot.
Oh, you would not be getting up and walking after that. I'm telling you now.
Also, the film is dedicated to Phil Schwartz, an effects specialist who died during filming
when
a rigged plane fell and crushed him. So
wow.
Yeah.
That's... Imagine if it was an aircon.
An aircon
that fell and crushed
An air dash con crushed Phil Schwartz.
Rip Phil Schwartz.
Also, finally, Nicolas Cage travelled to Alabama to work on his accent. So good on him, I guess. You can tell.
You did well, Cage. You did well, bro. Look, I'm looking forward to seeing him in...
Face Off and The Rock.
What's the newest movie that's come out?
That's not the newest, but Pig? Yeah, Pig. That's one of his. Yeah.
Mandy.
I want to watch Mandy with that beautiful purple light.
I'm thinking that A24, well, that is a production company, but an indie director, I should say, would bring the best out in Cage.
Yeah.
I really think he needs... He's the sort of person who needs that. And I'm actually... You know what? I've never seen Ghost Rider either. I'm looking forward to seeing him in those two.
I want to see the Wicker Man remake that he's in as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the bees!
Not the bees!
Can't wait to see that.
Damn, that was some good little inklings of trivia there.
True.
Well done.
Letterbox time?
It's time to get the letters out of the box and read them.
Groove Man says, is there a six-star option? 5 stars.
yes, fuck yeah.
Steve G says, when it comes to Con Air, there are two kinds of people. One, people who think Con Air is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Two, people who I don't want to talk to. 5 stars. Grooveman says, when you watch this film sober, it's a cinematic masterpiece. Once you've had a few, it's a little slice of heaven. 5 stars.
Slice of heaven, slice of heaven.
Diamond Bolt says,
oh my god, we got another
are
one.
Are we absolutely sure Michael Bay had no involvement in this at all?
No way.
3 stars.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's like the first 15 minutes into this movie. I said that to you, didn't I?
It did.
Wow.
Final review, Grooveman says.
No, Grooveman.
3 of these have been Grooveman. I'm pretty sure that it's scientifically proven that this is the greatest film ever made. 5 stars. I'm going through the letterbox thing and just every second review is Grooveman with like thousands of likes and he's rewatched this movie countless times. His profile pic is Nicolas Cage when he gets out of the plane and closes his eyes and goes, oh, yeah. Oh, out of the bus.
Yeah, and he's breathing in the fresh air for the first time.
Oh, I love you, Grooveman.
Grooveman. Look, I'm in the camp where I really do fucking love this movie. I absolutely do. But unfortunately, I can't give it a high score.
Okay.
I just can't.
Okay.
You look, it has a lot of problems and we have
name
to...
one.
No, I can't name you any. Can't you know, name I can't do it. I can't do it. Look, I'm going to be pretty middle ground with this movie because of how entertaining it was and how rewatchable it is. Mm. It is definitely something to go back over and over and over. But for the quality of a lot of things that dropped it, I'm going to be sitting at a 6.
Wow.
Yeah. Was that more positive than you thought I was going to be?
Yeah. Now my score doesn't seem as outrageous. Mine's just a 6.5.
Just a 6.5? Yeah. Well, that's not that...
You're still talking.
That's not out that outrageous.
Oh my god, we're wait. Still talking.
Oh shit, it's post the scores. We're not supposed to be talking now. Alright, do we end it?
I thought we'd end.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these 3 things.
Number 1. Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number 2.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number 3.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.